This is Ozarks at Large. This month, Governor Mike Beebe embraced an extension or expansion of the state's Medicaid program. The governor says that could help 250,000 uninsured Arkansans. That announcement, plus the resignation of a Democratic legislator from Marion connected to election fraud, is influencing the discussions in state races as we moved within a few weeks of early voting. Roby Brock from TalkBusiness.net brought the subject up with two members of the state legislature, Brian King, a Republican representative from Green Forest, who will be in the state Senate in the next General Assembly, and Darren Williams, a Democratic representative from Little Rock, who is the speaker-designate for the Arkansas House when lawmakers meet in January. Roby first asked the men about the governor's expansion of Medicaid.
Let's talk about why it may not be a good decision, why it may be a good decision. I'll let you go first, Representative King.
Well, first I want to talk about government predictions, and when it comes to government predictions, most of the time they're wrong. I mean, if you looked at President Obama and talked about if you passed the stimulus bill, unemployment wouldn't go above 8%, we know that's not right. I mean, we look at the predictions of when we had the tobacco tax back in 2009, Governor Beebe made promises to expand Our Kids First, a Medicaid program, and then after it passed, it reneged. So when we have predictions, it's if government predictions was like our stockbroker made government predictions we would be firing them or be broke. So, you know, relying on predictions and all these promises is hard to do. So, you know, I just see the federal government that they're in financial trouble. Or we know the deficit's an issue. Relying on that's going, you know, the federal government promises is going to be a concern.
Representative Williams, why would you be supportive of the Medicaid expansion, or do you have apprehensions also?
Well, let me address a little bit of what Brian mentioned about government predictions. There are some things that we know we don't have to predict. We know that there are over 250,000 Arkansans between 19 and 64 who don't have insurance, they're uninsured. We know that our rural hospitals are suffering. We know that in 2010, for example, about $340 million was spent on uncompensated care. So these hospitals, these doctors, these nurses are providing care to people who can't pay. And those rural hospitals cannot afford to continue to do that. They're going to shut down. And rural hospitals are the backbone of many of our communities. And so this is a way that we can provide service to an underserved community. We can make our state more healthy. And whether you like the law or not, it is the law. It's not going away. So I would rather we use those dollars to invest in the health of Arkansans as opposed to those in California and Michigan and Tennessee and other places, because we're going to pay those taxes whether we want to or not.
Is there any merit to that argument, Representative King, that we are going to be paying into the federal government no matter what? This money is going to be distributed for Medicaid expansion, whether Arkansas approves it or not. It's going to go to some other states. Is that a valid argument?
I think that is an argument, but, you know, the reality is we're going to be dependent on the federal government again. I mean, they could change the policy. We could see a change in Washington, D.C. We could see some things that we go out here and make promises, and then we're back here a year from now or 2 years from now and having to make other changes. So, you know, relying on that, you know, the federal government, and continuing to say, act like the federal government is this rich uncle somewhere that's just, you know, giving us this money, and it's nothing that we have to pay or be accountable for. And I would agree with Darren. You know, some of the rural hospitals have issues, but we need to look at reforming Medicaid first. We're looking at a deficit right now, this next session in Medicaid. So we're going to put more money in the system. I mean, under Governor Huckabee, we had a surplus. You know, now we have a deficit. So, you know, we need to start trying to reform Medicaid first and looking at pilot programs like in Florida that are more patient-centered and allow them to make decisions that's had some success.
All right, well, we've talked about some of the arguments for and against this Medicaid expansion. Let's talk about the raw politics of this. It's going to take a three-fourths vote of the legislature in both chambers to agree to expand it, because it's going to be a budget bill. It's going to be part of the state budget here. I don't have to tell either one of you. You guys know how to count votes. Well, there's not 75% of votes in either chamber for doing this, is there?
Well, you know, some of the appropriations process requires 75 votes in the House. You know, I'm not saying that the appropriation process is the right place for the debate. I mean, you need to vote on the substance of the bill, much like we did in the Our Kids expansion in 2009. Governor Beebe brought the policy first and then brought the appropriation later. I mean, you know, so I would look at a 51 vote would be the more acceptable part on the policy part. As far as the funding comes after the policy is already passed. So, you know, holding up appropriation bills is not something I do that, ask questions of agencies, you know, to hold it up on policy reasons, you know, I'm not really for. You know, I'm for looking at 51 votes, that's a majority, to pass those policy decisions is the way I look at it.
You got a different take on that?
You know, here's a point where we probably agree on. I think we need to look at the policy and not play politics with the appropriation. But I think at the end of the day that my colleagues in the General Assembly, they care about Arkansas. They care about the health of Arkansas. And I think we can find common ground on this important issue, because it is an important issue. And I think we'll do the right thing.
Let's turn our attention to Representative Hudson Hallam's ordeal over in East Arkansas. We saw this past week he pled guilty to conspiracy to commit election fraud. Lots of details kind of came out in the U.S. Attorney's disclosure on that. It has renewed this debate to strengthen Arkansas election reform laws. Let's start first with your voter ID law that you brought in the last legislative session. Didn't get too far down the road there. Got to a certain extent. Why do we need or not need voter ID laws?
Well, I'll make the case in point. That morning in an article, you had a Democratic state senator-elect that said there's no voter fraud in Arkansas, and then that afternoon, we have a representative resign for voter fraud. We've had voter fraud in Arkansas. I mean, Governor Huckabee made a comment about a banana republic, and it got blown out of proportion when it dealt with elections. And, you know, I don't know if we need to change it to a cheap chicken dinner and a cheap vodka republic when better than a banana republic. But we have voter fraud. We haven't had it addressed. The State Board of Election Commissioners haven't. I've spent time as election commissioner. I've had election irregularities not looked into. Representative Hallam said in one of the articles that, hey, this is just something we do over here. So you're not cracking down on voter fraud, and photo ID would help protect the integrity of the elections.
Why would voter ID not help?
Well, Roby, clearly, I believe that we must have an honest, a fair, and a just election. I don't think anyone in the General Assembly would disagree with that. But if you look at the voter ID law that Representative King introduced and that Republican legislators across the country have introduced, the only type of election fraud that would curtail would be where a person tries to impersonate someone. Well, you know, back to the Gore Bush elections, the Justice Department entered a multi-year investigation of voter fraud from 2001 to about 2007 to see, you know, what's this rampant voter fraud. They found 9 possible incidents in the entire country. 9. During that same time period, there were 500 plus people struck by lightning and 32,000 sightings of UFOs. So if you want to put your money where there are things important, I would say there may be things more important. This is another important point. You've got to look at the cost of what we're doing. We're struggling with a tough budget. Indiana passed a strict voter ID law, and it cost them $10 million to provide IDs, free IDs, which you've got to do if you're going to require a voter ID law. You've got to be able to have a way for folks who can't afford
to pay. I mean, we just continue the point, and even in my election, I mean, in 2006, there's voter irregularities happened. Hudson Hallam admitted this was a common practice over there. You never saw anything going over there investigating, prosecuting. You have many prosecutors that do not go out and even to want to touch voter fraud issues. They just totally stay away from it. I mean, you have these voting irregularities that people need to be asking questions. We have, you know, continually the Democrats continue to say voter fraud's not a problem. I mean, that's like saying, you know, Jimmy Hoffa's just left and went out for a drive and hadn't come back yet. Don't worry about it. I mean, we know these things are happening, and you don't have people going out and looking at it. You've had the Democratic Party fight me on every type of voter reform. I mean, requiring election commissioners to fill a statement of financial interest, you know, closing polling sites in conservative areas and manipulating elections. They totally ignored these things. So every time I keep looking at this argument that there's no voter fraud out there, there's voter fraud out there. We're just not, the Democrats here in the state have not been out there reforming and trying to crack down on this. They've been ignoring it.
Can I ask a question on that?
Sure.
Let me ask a question on that. Brian, your bill, your voter ID bill, how would that have any impact on Hudson Hallam's situation, for example, on absentee fraud? How would that at all impacted?
I don't know all the details of that, but it might not have addressed it. But we have a situation that was in committee where you had somebody move away from the state and then come back and find out they were voting. I mean, a lot of these election workers, you have election rolls with people that hadn't voted. Somebody could go in and say they're Darren might not be able to say he's Brian King in Carroll County. I might not be able to say I'm Darren Williams there. But, you know, we might have somebody come in and say, hey, I'm this. We don't know. They're not looking into it. I've spent years trying to reform elections in laws in Arkansas because you see these irregularities and address it. And I've had some success.
Representative Brian King from Green Forest is a state senator-elect, and Darren Williams of Little Rock is the speaker-designate for the Arkansas House for the next General Assembly. They talked with Roby Brock of TalkBusiness.net last week. Support for TalkBusiness.net on Ozarks at Large is provided by Mitchell Williams Law, providing strategic counsel on a variety of sophisticated legal matters since 1954. Mitchell Williams Law Firm combines decades of diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Today, the firm employs nearly 80 attorneys from 4 offices in Arkansas, Texas, and New York. Online at MitchellWilliamsLaw.com.
And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at bankozarks.com. And Verizon, offering a wide selection of productivity-enhancing tablets for small business, including the Apple iPad. More information at a Verizon communication store near you or online at vzw.com/smallbusiness. And CEG Partners, using empirical data to better understand your customers' experiences and their loyalties. More information at cegpartners.com.